This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. 40 years ago tomorrow, my guest Alfredo Duran invaded Cuba as a member of the Brigade of Cuban Exiles under the leadership of the CIA. The brigade was defeated by Cuban forces within 3 days. Duran was one of the more than 1,000 exiles taken prisoner by the Cubans. After his release, he returned to Florida, where he now practices law. He's the former chairman of Florida's Democratic Party and past president of the Brigade's Veterans Association. Also with us is Robert Reynolds. He was the CIA station chief in Miami at the time of the invasion. Both Reynolds and Duran attended the Bay of Pigs 40th anniversary conference in Cuba last month. I asked them each to describe a high point of the conference. Here's Alfredo Duran.
At one point, I was just finished explaining on the board where the battle plan was, the actions that the brigade was taking at a little town called San Blas, when we had been under artillery fire for 48 hours. And after I finished our battle explanation, the artillery officer who was commanding the batteries against us came up to the board to explain their position. And there have been many, many people who had died at that battle during the past 48 hours. And as he approached me, we looked at each other in the eyes, and we instinctively shook hands. That was a very intense moment. Most of the people at the audience stood up and applauded, and I felt that at that very moment, the ice had broken in the relationship that had existed up until that point between the brigade members and the colonels and generals who had fought against us. I think that it dissipated a great deal of tension. And from that moment on, the whole convention took a different type of atmosphere, at least between the Cuban participants and the brigade members. And I thought that it became all of a sudden more relaxed, more open, and we started, to some extent, trusting each other more.
Bob Reynolds, as the CIA station chief in Miami at the time of the Bay of Pigs invasion, what was a high point for you of the recent Bay of Pigs anniversary conference?
Well, I think I'd start with the same incident that Alfredo just described. Watching the first reconciliatory gesture by the representatives of the two sides was a very emotional experience. Apart from that, I'd like to say that meeting Fidel Castro was quite an experience for me. As I made the point in the conference itself, for 4 years that man dominated my life. I started following his progress through the Sierra Maestra in 1957 and stayed pretty close to Cuban affairs right up through the Bay of Pigs until sometime late in 61. So, coming face to face with a man, having several verbal exchanges with him, shaking hands, being his guest at lunch, and later at this sumptuous farewell dinner, was quite an experience for me.
If you don't mind my asking a very forward question, were you in on plans to try and assassinate Fidel Castro?
Not at all, and thanks for asking. I'm grateful to say that I was far away from any of that.
What was your role in the Bay of Pigs invasion?
It was extremely marginal. We in Miami were responsible for recruiting in large measure the people like Alfredo who formed the brigade. Once we recruited them, we flew them down to training camps in Central America, and that was the end of our responsibility. From that point on, they were under the control or management of other people.
Bob Reynolds, when you and your men were recruiting Cuban exiles living in Miami, recruiting them to join this invading force, what were you telling them about what to expect of the invasion?
At the very beginning, when we began recruiting people, we didn't really have yet a plan for the invasion. We were just pulling together a force and getting it trained as planning progressed. Originally, as I recall, we had in mind a much smaller force, not a brigade, but maybe a couple of hundred people who would actually sort of do a Castro. They would become a guerrilla force in the mountains. We'd drop them in some way and keep them resupplied and let them work their way up the up the island the same way Fidel did. That concept, though, was replaced by the one of a larger body and an invasion force. But at the beginning, we didn't tell anybody anything very specific about what was going to happen with them because we didn't really have a firm plan.
Alfredo Duran, when you were recruited by the CIA to join this brigade that was going to invade Cuba, did you know that the CIA was trying to make it seem as if they had nothing to do with this, that the Cuban exiles in Miami were on their own organizing this invading force? That's how the CIA wanted to make it seem. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I was. I was really not recruited. I enlisted. I sought out the recruitment offices and I joined. But I knew that everyone knew that the CIA was behind it. It was Miami in those years was almost like Casablanca. Everybody was talking invasion, revolution, guerrilla, terrorism, everything else. Miami was quite an active place, so everybody knew what was going on. What I enlisted for was I believed that we were going to be trained as a guerrilla force to be dropped in the mountainous areas of Cuba, and from there on take the fight on our own. The whole invasion plan developed later on, which made it much more complicated from the point of view of the United States, because an invasion required a tremendous other amount of logistics and supplies. But at any event, I knew that the CIA was behind it. I knew that the CIA did not want it to be known that they were behind it. But I also knew that everybody knew that the CIA was behind it.
When you enlisted, how did you know where to go to enlist? Did you know CIA agents?
Well, everybody in Miami in those days knew where the recruitment offices were, and every person was sitting in the corner. There actually was a recruitment office open where you would go enlist. You would be given some sort of medical and taking measurements, and it's pretty much like recruiting for the Army.
Why did you want to return to Cuba and fight against Castro?
Well, you have to understand that we were living right in the middle of the Cold War. We had just been learning about the Stalinist crime in the Soviet Union. Many of us were young, idealistic Cubans who did not want our country to turn into a communist dictatorship. We believed that would be very tragic for the country. And we decided that it was something that we had to do. We had to come in and try to save the republic. And many of the people in the brigade. The brigade, you have to understand also, it's like a rainbow of Cuban political thinking and society of that time. A lot of the people, for many, many reasons, including many of them, came out of the Catholic universities and stuff. And we really believed that we didn't want communism in Cuba. And therefore, we were taking on a crusade. As a matter of fact, the emblem that we chose to represent the brigade was a cross surrounded by a Cuban flag. So we believed at that time that we were in a crusade to bring Cuba out of what would become a tragic future, would be a communist dictatorship.
Tell me more about what you expected to happen after you got to Cuba as a member of this invading force. What did you think the outcome was going to be?
Well, the outcome was everything that I did not predict that it would be. First of all, I thought that we would win or I could die. I never expected to lose and live. I thought that if we would lose, we'd be shot. So the outcome was completely surprise to me. The other thing that was a surprise, and some of these things I learned at the conference in Havana a few weeks back, is that the plan that was developed, which was called Plan Pluto, really from the very first day was not adhered to. It was a plan which we were supposed to land at the Bay of Pigs, which was supposed to have guaranteed some success for a few days at least until other things happen. But that plan itself was not ever developed to its full capacity. The bombing was stopped on the 15th of April. It did not occur again, which was supposed to take out Cuban Air Force. We did not have access to supplies. We did not have access to have air cover, which was very much needed. We could not really advance without air cover and under enemy bombardment. And so that was a surprise, which you could detect from the very first day that the plan was not working. The reason we detected that from the very first day is that indeed the Castro Air Force was bombarding us around the clock. They sank the supply ships, and they virtually pinned us down to a point where we could not advance. And after the third day, of course, we ran out of supplies and ammunition, and we could not continue to fight. So we had to basically start our withdrawal and ultimately go into the swamps. So it was the failure of the plan from its from the very beginning was very obvious to the people the very day that we landed on the beach.
Did you feel betrayed that some of the things that you were promised by the CIA never materialized, like air cover?
Well, I personally didn't feel betrayed. I was a big boy. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was going to do there. I was hoping for support, but if we didn't get it anyway, I feel committed to the battle. And therefore, I don't feel betrayed. At that point, I was thankful that we had an opportunity to do this. I never felt that I was acting in the interest of the United States foreign policy. I never felt that I was acting as a mercenary for the CIA. I never felt that I was doing any other thing than fighting for the future of my country. So I didn't feel betrayed.
Alfredo Duran, were you paid by the American government? And if so, how much?
When I recruited, I really wasn't expected to be paid. I think that they paid a stipend to our family. I think that my wife got about $200 or something a month in support of my wife and my minor and my son who was born, as a matter of fact, while I was in jail.
Alfredo Duran, when you were fighting in Cuba as part of the force of Cuban exiles, did you recognize any of the Cuban soldiers you were fighting against? I imagine when you left Cuba that you left behind friends and possibly even family. And maybe some of those friends and family were in the Cuban military fighting against you.
Well, during the battle itself, no, I did not recognize them. But, you know, after we were captured, many of them came over to where we were. And obviously, I saw and I met with some who had been my friends from my youth. And it was very emotional. And as a matter of fact, one of the other brigadistas that was in this conference with us, Mr. Mario Cabello, two blood cousins were fighting against him, and his father was on the other side also. So it was this whole process of the Bay of Pigs, and that's why it's so intense for the members who participated. And I don't know if Bob was able to feel that what was happening there between us is that it was very much like a civil war. We were fighting families. And obviously there's a lot of passion and a lot of tension and a lot of sorrow because we were, everyone who died in the Bay of Pigs on whichever side had a relative or a friend or somebody close on the other side. So the suffering was mutual, no matter who won or who lost.
Alfredo Duran, you spent, I think, 18 months in a Cuban prison after the failed invasion?
That's correct.
What were the prison conditions like?
To tell you the truth, you know, it was harsh, but we were never mistreated. It was, we were overcrowded, we were underfed, we were under cared for as far as medical and medicine care, but we were never mistreated. They did the best to take care of us. Our conditions were not the best in the world, but at least we felt that we were being treated with respect. They gave us the condition of prisoners of war immediately, and maybe that had helped along to have a type of condition within the jail itself, which was more respectful and with more regards to our needs.
My guests are Alfredo Duran, a member of the Brigade of Cuban Exiles that invaded Cuba, and Robert Reynolds, the CIA's Miami station chief at the time of the Bay of Pigs invasion. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Alfredo Duran. He was a member of the CIA-led Brigade of Cuban Exiles that invaded Cuba 40 years ago, and Robert Reynolds, the CIA's Miami station chief at the time of the invasion. I want to ask you each another question about the Bay of Pigs anniversary conference in Cuba, which you both just attended. Because of this conference and because of the anniversary, both Cuba and the United States released a number of previously classified documents. I'm wondering if you can each mention something that you learned from these declassified documents that changes the picture of what really happened for you. Can we start with Barb Reynolds, who was the CIA chief in Miami at the time of the invasion?
Yeah, I brought with me a book of declassified documents in case you asked. I think perhaps the most interesting for me was this long memorandum that Vice President Nixon wrote after a long, long interview, meeting he had, I think 3.5 hours with Fidel Castro. Very perceptive and full of insights and understanding of the man, of Fidel. And probably the milestone marking the beginning of deterioration of our relations with the Castro government. It's, I think, April 1959. And Nixon writes, "My own appraisal of him as a man is somewhat mixed. One fact we can be sure of is that he has those indefinable qualities which make him a leader of men. Whatever we may think of him, he is going to be a great factor in the development of Cuba and very possibly in Latin American affairs generally. He seems to be sincere. He is either incredibly naive about communism or is under communist discipline. My guess is the former." So here's an assessment of Castro by our vice president at the time, which turned out to be pretty accurate.
How did that compare to your assessment of Castro when you were Miami bureau chief for the CIA?
Well, this was written before I went to Miami. I was still in Washington. But I, as one who followed Castro's progress through the guerrilla phase, I was very pro-Castro in those days. He was opposing a dictator, a corrupt regime. And as I put it at the conference, like most Americans, I was all for someone who was brave and dedicated to the mission of eradicating this bad regime and replacing it with his own. So, up until the time that he took power, I was I described myself as a Fidelista, and the people I worked with on Caribbean matters. I think we all felt that way.
Wait a minute, it's hard for me to absorb this. CIA guys being pro-Fidel.
I know this raised some eyebrows at the conference too. But I'm talking now about the period of time when he was working his way through the mountains in a guerrilla campaign aimed at toppling Batista.
Mm-hmm. So what turned you around into the anti-Fidel camp?
Things were edging from about the time of this interview with Nixon. Things were starting to sour. I don't recall all the details, but there were lots of nationalization of private property. There were overtures to the Soviet side. There was a visit by Mikoyan, and I'm sure I'm wrong. I don't have all the dates in front of me. But there was a general harshness developing in the tone of Fidel and his administration toward the United States, and things were worsening to the point where a year after his ascension to power, we had broken relations with him.
Alfredo Duran, did you also respect Castro when he was in the mountains and leading the revolutionary force? Did you think he would be a good leader, and did you want him to overthrow Batista?
No, I did not. Not at that time. I was one of those few Cubans that was never Fidelista. I belonged to a family that was politically allied with the Batista government, and therefore I had not good feelings towards the Cuban Revolution at that time. In essence, I was against the Castro government before he got into power, and maybe that's one of the things that motivated me also to join the Bay of Pigs, other than my ideals regarding the future of Cuba.
My guests are Alfredo Duran, a member of the Brigade of Cuban Exiles that invaded Cuba, and Robert Reynolds, the CIA's Miami station chief at the time of the invasion. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Alfredo Duran, a member of the CIA-led Brigade of Cuban Exiles that invaded Cuba 40 years ago, and Robert Reynolds, the CIA's Miami station chief at the time of the invasion. Alfredo Duran is someone who fought in the Bay of Pigs invasion. What would you most like to know that you don't know yet about what really happened behind the scenes?
You know, one of the questions that I did not get a chance to ask because the conference took on a long time, and as Bob, I'm sure, remembers, every time that Fidel Castro intervened, it took several hours of intervention.
he talks a lot.
Sure. But so I didn't get, when we were at that stage, I didn't get to ask what the thought process was to come to the political decision to how to handle the brigade by the Cuban government. Why did he not put us against the wall and shoot us? Why didn't he throw us in jail for 30 years as we were sentenced to? And why did he decide us to trade us for $62 million in food and medicine? That thought process I would have very much enjoyed to understand, because it sort of defined what the views of Castro as to his political future were and how to deal with his relationship for what happens to be the next 40 years vis-a-vis the United States. The Bay of Pigs was a very defining moment in history of Cuba. It defined for the next 40 years the relationship with the United States. It defined the political and social divisions of Cubans among ourselves for the next 40 years. And basically, it defined also to a great deal international relationships in Latin America, and almost created also a nuclear holocaust on the missile crisis. So it was a very important factor, and the aspects of the political thought process to me was of great interest, and I didn't get a chance to really get into that.
And Bob Reynolds, what would you most like to know about what happened behind the scenes during the Bay of Pigs invasion?
I would love to know to what extent our forces might have rallied dissident parts of the populace of Cuba.
And that was part of the official intention, was to...
Yes, we had rosy hopes that the brigade would, with its initial successes, would attract other volunteers who would join. Am I right about that, Alfredo?
Yeah, that's correct. There was expected to be an uprising.
And I don't think we'll ever know. I do know that Castro's secret police had done a pretty good job of rolling up small groups of resistance people that we had tried to establish elsewhere on the island that were not related to the invasion. But the life expectancy of such resistance groups turned out to be rather short. So the big question in my mind is, would we have been able to rally behind us, by we I mean the brigade, support from the populace? And I say we'll never know.
Alfredo Duran, you are the former chairman of the Florida Democratic Party. And I'm wondering how much continuing impact the Bay of Pigs invasion has on Florida politics today.
It has had a great deal. The Cuban-American Republicans, as part of their recruiting efforts, always bring out the Bay of Pigs, and they call it the treason at Playa Girón. And that has been a powerful motivating factor to the point that I think that the Cuban-Americans are the only Hispanic group in the United States that are overwhelmingly Republicans. You have here a registration of probably 75 or 80% Cuban-Americans Republicans. And that is almost inversed in every other Hispanic group in the country. But it is a very powerful motivating factor, and many, many Cuban Americans believe that the failure of the Bay of Pigs basically condemned the Cuban nation to be under the Castro government for the past 40 years.
I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much. Bob, nice talking to you again.
Good talking to you, Alfredo.
Alfredo Duran was part of the CIA-led Brigade of Cuban Exiles that invaded Cuba. Robert Reynolds was the CIA's Miami station chief at the time of the invasion. Tomorrow marks the 40th anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion.